بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين. الرسول الثلاثة والثري فندمنتلز، we have finished الحمد لله the first fundamental, then which is to know Allah سبحانه وتعالى, which is the most important one. Then the second fundamental is to know Islam with evidences. Third one is to know Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم because he is the messenger. So we know the sender سبحانه وتعالى and the message and the messenger. Both of the sides needed to be known. And as we said before, that why we say this is important to know these three, because they are also the same questions which is going to be asked in the grave. When the person dies, whether he is a Muslim or a kafir, when he is put in his grave and buried, these two angels will come to him and ask him the same questions. Who is your Lord? What do you say, what's your deen? And what do you say about this person who has been sent to you? So if he is a Muslim, a good Muslim, he will answer that my Lord is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and deen of Islam, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is my messenger. But if he is not a Muslim, whether he is an original kafir like Jew and Christian and others, or he is a murtad Muslim or hypocrite or so on, he will be saying, ah, ha, ha, I don't know. I've heard them saying something, I'm saying the same. Because he doesn't believe it. Nobody can put this in a paper and keep it with him in the grave, so he will answer correctly on the grave. That's not possible. The only people who can answer correctly is those people who have already practiced this knowledge in their life. It's not the case of known. Knowledge is not the case. The case is that to know, to practice, to call for, to be patient for what you're going to receive for. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Surah Al-Asr for those people who are not going to be losers. So everybody will be a loser. Everybody will be a loser except those people who have these four conditions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala count us with them. Yes, go ahead.
The evidence of his death, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the saying of Allah, which means, verily, you, O Muhammad, will die, and verily, they too will die.
Why is he talking about the death of Muhammad? Sorry?
Verily, you, O Muhammad, will die, and verily, they too will die. Then, on the day of resurrection, you will be disputing before your Lord. Az-Zumar 30:31.
Why Shaykh rahmatullahi alayhi brought the case of death of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Of course, he's talking about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this third fundamental, about his life, how long he lived sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and what happened in his life, and his hijrah, and so on. And then he completed with talking about the death of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? Actually, there is a big problem among Muslims of understanding the case of death of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are a lot of hadith, even there are some ayahs to say that people when they die, they are alive. ولا تحسبن الذين قتلوا في سبيل الله أمواتا بل أحياء عند ربهم يرزقون. So they are alive. Also we have a clear hadith of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم that he is going to be alive in his grave. So how can we gather this? Is he dead or alive? The same question comes to Muslims. So those Muslims, because they love Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, they come and say, no, no, he is not dead, he is alive. Upon these ayahs and these hadith. طيب, okay, he is alive. But they misunderstood the case of the difference between the three lives. Actually, the human beings, they have three different lives, but they are connected. There are small barriers between them or cut. Like dunya life, he's born and he's living some years, 60, 70 and so on. Then he will die. This will cut his first part of life to move to the second part of life, which is the barzakh life. He's alive in his grave. Yes, he's alive. The difference, of course, as we said before, is the case of soul and body in these different cases. Right. Then, again, he will be resurrected. He will be alive again, but alive again is what? To move from one life, which is barzakh, to another life, which is judgment day. Right. Still, we are calling them all lives. So, the first life is dunya, second life is barzakh, third life is the judgment day, and jannah and fire. When we say إِنَّكَ مَيِّتٌ وَإِنَّهُمْ مَيِّتُونَ, and the other ayah which is not mentioned in here, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلُ أَفَإِنْ مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلَ انقَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ عَقَابِكُمْ. Both of them and the other ayahs and other hadith prove clearly that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died and lift our life totally. طيب, that's easy. The second point is to say, can we have any connection with him صلى الله عليه وسلم in his grave? There is very limited connection. There is very limited connection, which is mentioned in some hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will return his soul to his body to answer the salam of Muslims. But this is very limited, because if we make it open, then Muslims will fall into the case of asking Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his grave because he's alive. So they say, why can't we go to his grave and talk to him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And the extremist ones also will say, we'll call him from anywhere because he's alive. He can hear us. And that will lead to shirk, because they will start to ask him things that can be done only by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like asking him shafa'ah, which is so famous or spread among Muslims. So many Muslims ask Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam directly shafa'ah. This is the major case, so we'll answer it now just. But they, some of them, they ask him more. They ask him for cureness, they ask him for rizq, they ask him for victory. Like what happened on the year of 1218, when the first Saudi government took Medina from Ashraf in Hijaz, they opened the room of the graves. Muhammad Hassan and Abu Bakr and Umar, they found a lot of papers thrown in there to ask Muhammad Hassan for things, including one of them is from Khalifa called Salim al-Awwal, Athmani Khalifa. He was sending him a paper, Ya Rasulullah, give victory to your slaves, A'udhu Billah, Ansur Ibadak. So he is putting people, slaves of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that is happening even now. Yeah, don't say this is 2 centuries ago. Now the people, and those Hay'ah who are working on Al-Baqi' graves, and the people who are taking care of it there, they say, wallahi, we find a lot of papers thrown in the grave of Hamza radiallahu anhu, graves, to ask them things. Ya Amma Rasulullah, I am in debit, please help me. And he's dead, yeah. No, he's not dead. He's Jaheed. Jaheed is alive. Allah told us in the Holy Quran that he is alive. وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتَ بَلْ أَحْيَاءَ. Yes, أحياء, لكن أحياء وير عند ربهم يرزقون. أحياء نقل الأصل, أحياء عند ربهم. Nobody, يعني, some people do not see this point that they are alive, yes, but alive in different aspects. If Muslims understand this, they will not fall into this problem or mistake of thinking that they can't talk to these people and ask them things. But even if they are alive, يعني, let us imagine that Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is alive. Can we ask him for cureness? Can we ask him for rizq? He وسلم, never did this. But even though he also did now, can we ask him also? Ah, subhanAllah. Just explain for the case of Shafa'ah, because it's important in this point. Some Muslims, they misunderstand this a lot. Can we ask Shafa'ah from Muhammad وسلم now? We cannot. Why? We know he is Shafi'ah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's of course. Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they believe that Muhammad وسلم will be Shafi'ah for us in the judgment day. But we cannot ask him now. Why? Because he is dead. That's the first point. Second thing, he doesn't have it now. He does not have shafa'ah now. What's the proof? The proof is the hadith. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that he, yani the proof, the hadith when he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that he is in judgment day, people will go to their father Adam asking for help, to call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make judgment quickly. Because they're so tired. They're standing hungry, thirsty, with the sun so close to them, and a lot of sweating. So they go to their father to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for judgment. Adam refuses, he sent them to Nuh, Nuh sent them to Musa, Isa, then to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes, salawatu rabbi wa sallam alayhi, to bow under al-arsh and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make judgment. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him in that time only, he gives him the shafa'ah. Then he can make shafa'ah to people. But now he does not have the shafa'ah. And even though if he has the shafa'ah now, we cannot ask him because he is dead and there's no connection between us and him. So if this is for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what about these other graves? Of course, they are not like Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in the same, should be, of course, it cannot be done by other graves like Al-Badawi in Egypt or Ibn Arabi in Syria or Ahlul Bayt on Iraq like Al-Husayn and others. And also, يعني for other graves like Ajmer in India and Nizam al-Din Awliya in Delhi and Mazar Sharif in Afghanistan and so on, Raiwand in Pakistan and so on. So That's a very important point to understand in the case of death of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
As you said, like all the people are alive in the Alam Barzakh,
right? Yes, but they are levels. They are levels.
Yeah, levels are there. But then how Allah has mentioned only about this one, Sahid, right? They are alive, not about the other people. Even the other people also, they are like either getting punishment.
Yes, because Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the other messengers, plus the Shuhada, they have a higher life in the graveyard or in the Barzakh, including their bodies are not touched. While the others, as Muhammad told us in the hadith, that the mu'min when he dies, he is not shaheed, of course, okay, and he's not messenger. When he dies, his grave, after the question and everything, his grave will become a green area, right? And they will be, he will be told to sleep. And of course, the person who is sleeping is not dead. He's alive. He will be sleeping until the judgment day comes. If we open the grave, will we see an open area or green area? No, because the life system there differs than our life system. And some people try to book the camera in there, you know, to see what happened in the grave. They saw only the person is dying and his body is gone. خلاص. Say, where is the greens and why can't we see these graves are beside each other, not far away from each other, to have an open area? Why can't we see this fire which is burning these kafirin on the graveyard? Because their life is different. Allah may show us, subhanahu wa ta'ala, for some reason, He may show us some of these. Like what happened to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he knew that these two guys who are, two graves are suffering severe punishment, so he put these two green sticks. Also, if you read the ayah about Ali Fir'aun, Allah told subhanahu wa ta'ala, النَّارُ يُعْرَضُونَ عَلَيْهَا غُدُوًّا وَعَشِيًّا. Then, so they are facing hellfire in the morning and the evening, where? In the grave, before the judgment day. So that gives us the idea that they are, and their graves are facing. So the dead person, if you burn him, he will be affected? He will feel it? If he is dead, he cannot, no, he is alive in his grave. But it's different life. It's counted to us, they are dead. Because they are dead from our life, dunya life. But they are in their graves, they are alive. But different life. Clear?
Yeah, but
in case of Shaheed, because
the body will not be, this one, this is the reason
that he... Okay, Shaheed, as I said, Shaheed and Anbiya, they have extra point or higher level life in the grave, that their bodies also does not be touched. Not only their souls, but also their bodies. While for regular people, no, their souls will be alive. Their bodies will be smashed, but still they are tasting and feeling the happiness or the na'im or the punishment. Even if they are, their bodies are smashed or not there, only the small bone which is in the bottom of the back, still they are tasting the na'im or the jahid or the punishment.
People will be resurrected after death. The evidence for which is the saying of Allah, which means, thereof the earth we created you, and into it we shall return you, and from it we shall bring you out once again. Taha 55. After resurrection they will be held to account. The evidence being the saying of Allah, which means, and to Allah belongs all that is in the heavens and all that is in the earth, that He may requite those who do evil with that which they have done, that is, punish them in hell, and reward those who do good with what is best, that is paradise. An-Najm 31.
Of course, Shaykh then is talking after death, he's talking about that people after death, they will be alive again. And they are facing their, what they have done during this life. So this life now, dunya life, which is the first part of our three lives, it is the time to work. It is the time to work. For those people who do good in this life, they will relax on the graveyard, then they will be judged on the judgment day for what they have done in the first part of the life, which is dunya life. That's natural. What will happen? Of course, it's known to everybody that the good people will be happy in their graves, then they will be happy in the judgment day after being sent to Jannah. Vice versa, of course, the kafirin, they will be on munafiqeen and the kafirin, they will be punished in their graves, plus they are going to be punished after the judgment, and after judging them and sending them to hellfire. So So many clear hadith actually to talk about this, but graveyard, grave life, which is barzakh. There's a very clear hadith that Awf ibn Malik رضي الله عنه was with Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. They went to a graveyard with one dead Sahabi to be buried, and they reached the graveyard while the grave is not ready. Needs a little bit of work. So Muhammad sat down, and Sahaba sat down, waiting for the grave to be ready. And he told them, صلى الله عليه وسلم, about the story of the human being when he dies. Well, before he dies, when he's ready to die, the angels will come. But the angels here differ. Angels of Rahmah and angels of Adab. Angels of Rahmah, those people who are going, those angels who will come and take the soul smoothly from the body. They will be white faces, okay, and so on. While the vice versa for the other angels who are coming to the kafirin, taking the soul hardly, and the, yani, their faces are black or their yani, scary faces and so on. Then he told us what will happen in the graveyard after in the grave after the person's buried. If he is a good Muslim, the two angels will come and ask him, and he will answer easily. Then they will open a window in his left side to Jahannam. Yes. Why? To show him that this is your place if you rejected and do not accept the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Closed. And they will open another window on the right side to show him his place in Jannah. That's what they call it, the psychological na'im. It's not a physical now. Now it's only psychological. He's seeing the hellfire, he's afraid. Then he sees Jannah, he's happy. Now this is some kind of what? Rewarding, but what? Not a materialistic or physical reward. Then he will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make qiyamah. Because he wants to go to this Jannah, he has seen already. So these two angels will tell him, no, relax, sleep. So he will sleep in his graveyard, maybe thousands or maybe millions of years, like if you sleep between al-Dhuhr and al-Asr. Like sleeping, like you sleep between al-Dhuhr and al-Asr. This is the area or the time. Okay? So he's sleeping, but he's alive. A sleeping person is not a dead person. Although there's a hadith to say that the sleeping is some kind of death. But actually, he's still alive. Alive to this great life, not our life. Okay? So this hadith is clearly shown us that the person who moves or travels, actually, from one life to another life, this is the system what is going to happen to him. So this is the question before talking about does Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, did Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم knew the ghaib? No. He never knew the ghaib, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him this ghaib. So what he knows is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him. So he told us what he had been told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through Angel Jibreel alayhi salam. For us it's ghaib, for him now khalas, he knew it because Allah told him. That reminds me of what Ali ibn Abi Talib said, that he said, I have seen Jannah and Jahannam for sure. Surely I have seen them. How did you do this? He said, I saw them by the eyes of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. And the eyes of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم will never be tricked, because Allah told us, وَلَقَدْ رَاهُ نَزْلَةٍ أُخْرَى وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَى. So Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, for sure he has seen it. So if Ali ibn Abi Talib seen this in his dream or anywhere else or even in front of him, he will not believe it, because he may be tricked. And Shaitan may try to trick a good Muslim. Like I told you before, the case of Al-Junayd, when he was walking from Baghdad to some of these towns around in the darkness, then a strong light came from the sky and a voice to say, Ya Junaid, I am your God. You don't have to pray anymore. Khalas, you have reached the fact, the truth. No need for praying. Khalas. So Junaid was a scholar. Very good Muslim, he knows this. He said, Are you Allah الذي لا إله إلا هو? He said, I am your God. Now he cannot say, I am Allah الذي لا إله إلا هو. So he said, I am your God. You don't have to pray anymore. خلاص. He said, Allah curse you. يلا روح. So he ran away. Shaitan tried to play a game with Al-Junayd. The same game has happened to these Sufis especially. A lot of these games have happened to them. They hear voices or they see lights. So they think they have reached the truth and they can talk to Allah directly. Rather, you say, you people, you Muslims, you Sunnis, you are taking your knowledge from dead person to dead person to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from Jibreel, Jibreel from Allah. No, we take it directly from Allah. A'udhu billah. So they are better than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Astaghfirullah. They did not say it, but that's what it means. That's what they say. We don't have to go over these books, Al-Bukhari, Muslim, I don't need. Allah told me through my heart. My heart told me what Allah told me. Who is Allah in here for them? It's Shaitan. Jinni Shaitan or anti Shaitan. They're coming to him, they say, خلاص. He reached. It is Wasal. Wasal and Sufi's system means خلاص, he reached the point that there is nothing between him and Allah directly. So Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah said, yes, he have reached, but he have reached Jahannam. Yes.
The one who disbelieves in the resurrection is a disbeliever. The evidence for this being the saying of Allah, which means the disbelievers pretend that they will never be resurrected for the account. Say, O Muhammad, yes, by my Lord, you will suddenly be resurrected. Then you will be informed of and recompensed for what you did, and that is easy for Allah. At-Taghabun. 7.
The case of resurrection, actually the problem was in the Qurayshi people and some Arabs in that time, some of them don't believe on that people after they die they will be awake again or alive again. They say it's only women give birth and then earth will take them and khalas ma'a salam. So Muhammad needed also to explain this point to them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and this ayah and the other ayahs explain them how that human being cannot be. طيب, we have a lot of ayahs. Suppose if we face someone who does not even believe in these ayahs or does not accept these ayahs, whether he's a kafir or a Muslim. There is a lot of proofs actually. It's not this, the case of giving these proofs now. But one of these proofs is to say, imagine one criminal got into a flat or apartment and killed 10 people. Not us, of course. A family, you know, of 10 people, he has been killed. This criminal has been captured by police, and halas, they decided that he will be killed. And he is killed. Is this just? 10 souls for one soul? This is not just. What's the just? The just is that this person has to be killed 10 times. That's impossible in life, isn't it? So he has to be, there has to be another day where this poor people, this killed persons, to take their rights from this person. So many criminals, now they can take money, they can kill people, and they never been killed. Especially in the Catherine land where there's loads of human beings, there are a lot of ways to get out of this law. You can hire a fantastic lawyer who can get you out of every crime you want. What is just in here? It's unfair. Then there has to be another day where, in fact, as Muhammad SAW told us, that in that judgment day, the sheep without, what do you call it?
Horn.
A sheep without a horn will come to take its right from the sheep with the horn. Subhanallah al-Azim. Of course, they are not going to be in Jannah or hellfire. They will be destroyed and smashed. That's why the kafir and the end of Surah Al-Naba, he said, وَيَقُولُ الْكَافِرُ يَا لَيْتَنِي كُنْتُ تُرَابًا. Because he has seen these animals after they take their rights from each other, they will be soil or turab. So the kafir would love to be like this, because he knows what's waiting for him. So there is a lot of evidences from Quran and Sunnah and also from human mind to prove that resurrection is there, and it has to be.
Allah sent messengers to warn and convey glad tidings. The evidence for this is the saying of Allah, which means messengers as bearers of good news as well as of warning, in order that mankind should have no plea against Allah after the coming of messengers. An-Nisa 165. The first of all...
Okay, hold on. We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us that He has taken mithaq from every human being. Yani we are supposed by fitrah to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and worship Him. That's natural. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of He is the merciful, He is the merciful subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most gracious subhanahu wa ta'ala, still He is so mercy with us, He sent us these messengers to guide us to worship Him in the correct way. Otherwise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have already taken the mizaq from us. As the hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought Adam and he brought all his children from his back, like ants, and he took mizaq from them. أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ قَالُوا بَلَى شَهِدْنَا أَنْ تَقُولُوا يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ إِنَّا كُنَّا عَنْ هَذَا غَافِلِينَ. So we have already been asked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we've been taken from our father's back, that we have eyewitness that He is our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we are not supposed to make shirk on Him. But still, although this is there, still Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is sending us messengers to show us the correct way of worshipping Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise we have no single word to say that we don't know. We have already known before we were born. Yes.
The first of all messengers was Nuh alayhi salam. And the final messenger was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. With whom Allah healed all messengers and prophets. The evidence that Nuh alayhi salam was the first messenger is the saying of Allah, which means, verily, we have sent the revelation to you, O Muhammad, as we sent the revelation to Nuh and the prophets after him. An-Nisa 163.
Right. Question comes in here. What about Adam? What about Adam? Why it started with Nuh? What do you think? Huh? No. Adam was not a messenger.
No. There was shirk.
Huh?
Yes. We're talking about messengers. Not the prophets. Adam was a prophet only. While first messenger was Nuh alayhi salam, and last one is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have good point, two points in here. Where started the messengers? Because Adam alayhi salam was in the right track. And his generations, sons and sons, kept on tawheed and monotheism for 10 centuries. As the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. Then after that, people started to curve to the shirk, a'udhu billah. When these five persons died, Waddan, Waswa'an, Wayaghutha, Wayaquq, and Nasra. They died in Rome at the same time. Later on, they made pictures of them and so on, little bit, generation after generation, until they worshipped them instead of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Nuh alayhi salam to guide them to the right track. Last one is Muhammad, which is a very important point. Very important point, why to say it? Because there are a lot of people who said, they are messengers, or claim that they are messengers, or prophets. One of them, like a joke. In time of Abbasi Khilafah, I think he was Al-Mansur or Al-Mahdi. Al-Mahdi, son of Al-Mansur. He said, they caught a lady saying that she is a prophet. So they brought her to Al-Mahdi. They say, how come you say this? She said, why not? They said, Muhammad Azam said, La Nabiya Ba'di. How you say? She said, yes. Well, there was no Nabiya after Muhammad Azam. But I am Nabiya, not Nabi. She said that no Nabi, male Nabi. But Nabiya, no problem. That is. So, there are so many people try to say, starting with Musaylam al-Kadhdhab, who used to live in this area. Then, more and more people Sajah in Iraq and so on people to say that they are messengers and prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we have proof alhamdulillah and clear proof that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the last messenger. That of course gives him that he is the top of all the messengers, because every messenger sent to his people and sent to a certain certain period, then another messenger will come, but Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent to everybody, plus he was his messages for ever until the earth is finished with the people.
Every nation to whom Allah sent messengers from the time of Nuh alayhi salam until Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was commanded to worship Allah alone. The evidence for this is the saying of Allah, which means, and verily we have sent among every nation a messenger proclaiming, worship Allah alone and avoid or keep away from Tahoot all false deities besides Allah. An-Nahl 36.
Muslim in here, but let me talk about the case, because talking about Tawgut needs a little bit of discussion. Every messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been sent with the same message but different Sharia. Remember we talked in the beginning that every messenger is bringing or brought two things: Tawheed and legislation. Legislation will be taking care of what we call like a law. This is halal, this is haram, this is done, this is not done, this is allowed, this is not allowed. But for aqidah or belief, they are the same. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَعْبُدُونَ. Every messenger came to his people with this word. What the first is the case of legislation or the law or Sharia. So Sharia of Musa, legislation of Musa, the first from legislation of Isa, also the first from legislation of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Each one they have different haram and halal. What some of the things in life were prohibited in the time of Musa, it was allowed in the Sharia of Isa, and also maybe it's allowed or prohibited in the Sharia of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So each, but this is the difference. The case which is they all came with the same thing is the case of monotheism, Tawheed. That's the hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he said that the meaning of it is that the messengers are brothers from one father and different mothers. So the one father is the aqidah for Tawheed. Different mothers is the different Sharia. He gave an example of this sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if we put in mind clearly that every messenger came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he came with Islam. So can we say that Musa was a Muslim? Yes. Isa, Ibrahim, all of them are Muslims. But the Muslims in the case and in the understanding of the case of submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Surrendering to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not the case of Islam which is known now with the Sharia of Islam. Everyone came with La ilaha illallah. All of them. All of these messengers came with La ilaha illallah. All of them called their people to worship only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the Sharia or legislation differs. That's very easy and important to remember when we talk about the case of messengers for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The case of Tawhid, as I said, we'll leave it for next week inshallah because it's a very important point to discuss. Any question on the topic?
Some people have a question about the Shafa'ah, asking Shafa'ah from the Prophet Muhammad. Is that considered shirk? Because you're not asking him to help, but you're asking him to ask Allah.
Asking the dead, whether directly from him or from Allah, shirk. It will be bid'ah and haram if he asks Allah in his grave, but asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if we put it this way, going to the graveyard is three levels, or three types, or three sectors. The Sunni ziyara is to go there to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the dead people. As Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did, he went to these, to Al-Baqi and the others, he was asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for them. He made dua. As-salamu alaykum dara qawm al-munin wa inshallah bikum lahiqoon. And so on. He makes dua for them. So this is Sunni ziyarah. The second type is bid'i ziyarah, which is haram. Is to go as these graves to call Allah in that area, thinking that this area is better than any other place to call Allah for. Call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in. They are not calling the graves. They are not talking to the graves. They are not trying. They are just calling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But that area. In that area. We say this is bid'ah, it's haram. But going to the graveyard to ask Allah through these people, or ask these people direct, both of them are shirk. That's why we say, asking Shafa'ah from Rasulullah, this is shirk. Because he is calling a dead person. وَمَنْ أَضَلُّ مِنْ يَدْعُو مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ مَنْ لَا يَسْتَجِيبُ لَهُ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ وَهُمْ عَنْ دُعَائِهِمْ غَافِلُونَ وَإِذَا حُشِرَ النَّاسُ كَانَ لَهُمْ أَعْدَاءً وَكَانُوا بِعِبَادَتِهِمْ كَافِرِينَ. So these are ضال. ضال means, خلاص, he's falling into shirk in this case. Because he's asking someone else that who cannot really answer him. And we give these three conditions for asking human beings. The word cap. Capable, alive, present. If a person is capable and alive and present, then ask. Ask him to carry with you a table, ask him to help you out in things, that's no problem. But if he is missing one of these conditions, then you cannot ask. If he's dead, you cannot. If he's not capable, he's a handicap. You cannot ask a handicap to help you to carry everything. Unless, well, that's the point here, that's the person who is asking him, thinking that he has a different power, superpower, or he is capable of things cannot human beings cannot do. That's only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If he is not available, of course, this is the thing, unless he is, of course, you can use communications like telephone and so on. That's another case. But cap and here is must. Cable, alive, and present.
Yes, one more thing. Subcontinent, if someone passes that, you know, you ask the dua, it is like water, like the kibarish. And the dua, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that our dua is so clean.
لا يسك أصله what شفاعة anything okay does he ask محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم or ask الله طيب how is he asking الله سبحانه وتعالى يا الله make محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم شفيع for me
no
you ask الله سبحانه وتعالى by the high rank of محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم okay توسل yes توسل is a wide case. Maybe inshallah we'll have a time to talk about it. It is the case that using a means to have your call responded. If this means is correct, your call is okay. Because توسل سبحان الله هذا ما توسل في القرآن يا أيها الذين اتقوا الله وابتغوا إليه الوسيلة. وسيلة is the noun. توسل is the verb or the action. Where's the وسيلة to come to this place? A car. So this is وسيلة, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to use wasila to talk to him subhanahu wa ta'ala or to ask him subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you want to call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what do? Ya Ghafoor, ighfir li. You're using his name subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Rahman, arhamni. You can ask someone to make dua for you. That's allowed in Islam, of course. You can, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, use the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can use, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by your good deeds. Like this case, three case people who have asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by their good deeds and so on. But to ask Allah by the high rank of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and ya Allah, because Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is great and this, give me this, this is attributed against the mind, against the logical mind. Yani, if Tanzim is rich, I'll talk to me, because Tanzim is rich, give me 5 riyals. What's the connection here? So you say, tell me, ask him, ya, don't ask me. What is the connection between Imtiaz and Nabi? Tanzim. Imtiaz, please give me 1,000 riyal because Tanzim is rich. So can you are okay? What same thing we have asked? Yani, the high rank of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is for him. The high rank of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is for him, not for us. So why ask, ya Allah, because Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you love Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, give me this. What is the case in here? But if you say, ya Allah, because I love Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this is a good deed of you, then you can ask about it. Ask with it. Okay? So, ya Allah, because I love Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, give me this. Okay, fine. Ya Allah, because I love Islam. Ya Allah, because I have done this, give me this. Okay, fine. But ya Allah, because Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a high rank, or a good person, or a fantastic person, give me this. There's no connection here. There's no connection. It's not allowed in Islam. This will lead... By the way, yani, the case of tawassul or using a means is one of the biggest gates that Muslims fill into shirk. With.
I think one of the lectures he said that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sending a message, comes through Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or any other message. When we pray directly to Allah.
We do? Yes?
So we are having this two here.
No, we are not having, we are not going through someone. We are going directly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala using something. You get the difference in here? You get the difference? We are not, yani, coming in here by the car, we are using it as a wasila, right? But we are not, yani, asking the car itself. Now we are asking Allah, ya Allah, ya Ghafoor, ighfir li. Now, ya Ghafoor here is the name of Allah, right? So we are using the name of Allah Ta'ala to satisfy him, so he will answer our, or respond to our call. We can ask our love to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We can use the love of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We can use any good deeds we are doing, as a wasila to satisfy Allah, so he will give us. Now we are going where? To Allah. We are not going through Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam or through Ajmir or through this. No, we are going direct to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. So we are calling him, but we are using some means to satisfy him, so he will answer us. Clear? Hopefully. Any questions later? So, question on the topic is finished. We have to close.